Kyrie Irving drops 50, Darius Garland in special, and will the Clippers actually sit a healthy Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs? We're going to talk about it right now on the Locked On NBA podcast.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On NBA podcast. And hi, to the right in the screen. I'm John Corrales. I have to introduce myself. How are you doing? What's your name?
I know. Hi, I'm Jake Madison. Nice to see you for like the second time 2022 here. It's been a minute since we've had us together, the actual Wednesday hosts on the Wednesday show.
We're back. It's like the Splash Brothers back in action together. John Corrales here, John_Corrales on Twitter. Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter. I'm Locked On Celtics. He's Locked On Pelicans. It's been like crazy beginning to 2022 with the Celtics. Since I'm a beat writer, I covered the Celtics, and they just had this run of Tuesday games and then the All-Star break. So we haven't been able to podcast together. So this feels like it's just special. It feels good to be back.
The chemistry is still there. We're going to give you all an amazing show about the six games in the association, running down the biggest stories and everything here. Look, I missed last week. It was Mardi Gras day, so no podcast for me then. So we're going to get back into this a little bit.
Yeah, so let's do that. Later on in the third segment, we're going to do our real or fake based on what Ty Lue reportedly said about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and not being cleared in time for regular season games and all of that stuff. That is a wild thing. We'll get into that. We'll save Darius Garland for segment two because the Cavs and Pacers probably played the best game of the night. But let's start with arguably, if it wasn't Darius Garland, the other best performance of the night had to be Kyrie Irving for the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets had a huge lead on the Charlotte Hornets. They kind of gave it up towards the end. But it doesn't really matter because Kyrie Irving drops 50 points on 15 of 19 shooting, 9 of 12 from 3, 11 of 13 from the line. Jake, he broke true shooting percentage. If you calculate his true shooting percentage, it's over 100% based on the formula. He was so efficient.
Look, this is just, he's capable of doing this. This is a guy that when he wants to be, when he's out court playing, is one of the best scorers in the league. And this is why the Brooklyn Nets put up with a lot of his BS. And, it's worth it in the long run when he can go and basically put up a game like that, that we've never seen that kind of efficiency for in a 50-point game. 50 points on 19 shots is bonkers. One and a half points per shots is a real, real good number. He's getting closer to three, basically, at this point. It's like 2.5, right? Like it's an absolutely insane number from him. And this is why Kevin Durant's putting up with his BS and is still there in Brooklyn right now.
Yeah. So when people say, how the hell can true shooting be over 100%? The formula, it weights free throws and three-pointers and all of that. So there's a multiplier in there, a 0.44 multiplier in the weird little formula that makes it go up over 100%. So just know that the formula is there for a reason. But Kyrie doing this, I'll go the other way. And I'm sure this is going to be, it's going to come off as the Boston guy is going to bag Kyrie for having a
50-point game. Yes, it will.
However, I would look at this as a Nets fan and just kind of be like a little bit of why can't you just be here all the time? Because you look at a performance like this and okay, the Brooklyn Nets with this win overtake the eighth seed. So, and I don't think they have enough time to get out of the play-in tournament. So I think they're just going to be settling into the eighth seed here and they'll be in the play-in. If I'm a Nets fan, I'm like, great, this is awesome. But isn't there a part of you, if you're a Nets fan, that says, okay, but we could have used this for a big part of the season. And instead of getting home court in the play-in and having your first first round series is going to be against either Miami or Philly or Milwaukee. Why not your first round series be against a sixth, seventh, or eighth seed? I mean, there's still the possibility that because of this, that first round series, you're going to still potentially lose that, because we just saw the full strength Nets lose to the Celtics. You face a good team, anything can happen in the series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you to an extent, right? Up with it because he's capable of doing this. Would you rather have had it? Yeah, but this is not a guy who's going to top out when you're like, oh, that dude had the game of his life, and it's like 25, 30 points. It's Kyrie who can absolutely go out and score like very few players in the league. So you grant him some more leeway. Yeah, you'd like him there the whole time, but it does seem like some of this stuff might get lifted for him. He might be able to play the entirety of the playoffs. We'll see. And if that's the case, who really cares, right? Like, at least right now, maybe it's better they're a lower seed. And, you know, if there's a game seven and it's on the road, you don't need to worry about one of those issues kind of creeping up at home. I know we've joked about that all year, but it's like kind of coming to fruition, right? I'm with you. They don't stand a chance of getting out of the play-in tournament. They'll probably finish at eight, something like that. And they're going to have to play an extra game, but they're probably fine with that. And they're going to take kind of their chances with it. And, you know, it's also going to be kind of fun on Thursday when they take on the Philadelphia 76ers and what thing is going to look like too. That, in a weird way, it's some kind of weird version of game of the season or something like that too. But they're going to be thrilled they have Kyrie in that one, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, look, Kyrie, you're right. There's a reason why you put up with this stuff. And, you know, look, it's his third 50-point performance as a Net. So like he's been doing this for a while. And if they're going to have any chance of pulling off the being the first play-in team to win a championship, it's going to be because Kyrie Irving is there doing this on a regular basis. And maybe New York with the COVID numbers, maybe they'll change their restrictions again and he'll just be playing full time. And then basically Kyrie Irving will be the big winner of this season because he got to do what he wanted. He wins on that regard. He gets to skip a regular season because he doesn't care about the regular season much anyway, because he doesn't need it. Look at what he just did. And then he comes in and gets to go through the playoffs, and he's totally fresh. And all of a sudden Brooklyn goes from having all of the stuff that they've gone through and maybe something that triggered James Harden into wanting this trade. They go to, hey, by the way, we've got now the freshest superstar because he skipped most of the season.
Kind of the freshest too, when you factor in Durant and him missing games too, despite him coming back from injuries. Like they're all going to be, you also got Ben Simmons in there, right? Who hasn't played at all. Like this is a team that's going to have some fresh legs going into the postseason.
It's going to be, what happens? Oh,
this is super weird.
Why?
It's super weird. It's just like, just the whole situation kind of like hit me like
I was like
yeah no just it saying it out weird. Loud you have to kind of like let it sink in and realize like oh my god this is so bizarre
right. Durant missed a bunch of time and that's actually not the worst thing in the world because he's fresh. Kyrie we just talked about, and then you throw Ben Simmons in there. The only question is chemistry when it comes to them. I mean, at that point you have the potential here for the Nets to be like waking up day one of the playoffs as the eighth seed and not fearing anybody. And you go up against Miami and it's like, yeah, whatever. Like who cares? Brooklyn would be favored. Brooklyn would be favored in that. And how do you stop those guys? And if Ben Simmons comes in, like if Ben Simmons comes in the last three games of the regular season, and he's the pick setter that people have been talking about, the Draymond Greenish kind of third star that plays kind of off the ball in the half court, runs the system in transition and defends the other team's best player. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh crap. The number one team you fought, like your Miami, or if somebody else overtakes them, you fought all season to get this top seed, and your reward is the Brooklyn Nets, full strength, full chemistry. Here you go.
It's the pimp shift that Kyrie Irving want to try and create. Maybe you'll see teams do this. No, that's not going to happen. You're not going to see teams really do this in the future. But, man, again, I'm just like, this is super weird. But you're right. Like, that's – if you're Miami and you have this amazing regular season, this sucks. Like, this totally sucks. And it's just the past couple of seasons with COVID and things like that, you know, we're still dealing with some of the ramifications of that in sport. And this is one of them. And maybe one year, maybe next season, it's going to be kind of normal and we won't have weird things like this. Maybe.
Maybe. All right. So let's just quickly run through the next couple of games here before we get to the next segment. The Phoenix Suns hold off the Orlando Magic. Phoenix obviously does not have Chris Paul, does not have Devin Booker. Booker is in health and safety protocols. Orlando made it a game, but they get a monster game from DeAndre Ayton, who had 21 points and 19 rebounds. 21 points for Landry Shamet. Campaign, 18 and 12 for Phoenix. Meanwhile, on the other side, 20 points, 12 rebounds for Wendell Carter Jr. And the Suns hold off the Magic 102-99. At this point, Jake, I don't know if you want to add a quick comment. But at this point, Phoenix is just like, take whatever win you can get without those two. Doesn't matter how it happens. Just take your wins, hold off the competition, hold your spot, and move forward.
Look, they love that Campaign and Landry Shamet got going. Campaign's been there for them, but Shamet hasn't shot well, like, at all right this season. So the fact that he goes 6-10 from three is big. They need this kind of guy to get into form. They need these other guys to step up because they are going to be carried by Chris Paul and Devin Booker, but Chris Paul at times has been a little bit fragile. And so if you have an injury in the playoffs or anything like that, you know these guys are capable of stepping up. It only adds more depth when they're there. This was kind of important for him, I think.
And then the Milwaukee Bucks just slowly, methodically crushed the Oklahoma City Thunder, 142-115. Giannis, 39 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists in less than 28 minutes. If it wasn't for these other two monster performances, we'd be like, oh my God, look at what Giannis did. But he did it against the OKC Thunder, who announced before the game, Lou Dort, Ty Jerome, Mike Scala are all like, all of a sudden, all surgery, they're all done. Like the tank job that's being done in OKC is just masterful. And
it's so funny. Right before the game, oh, by the way, Lou Dort not playing the rest of the season. Sorry, you guys. And it's like, he's good. Like, you know, they don't have any desire to win games. And, you know, at one point, are you worried about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander needing surgery or something like that and being shut down for the season? Because, by the way, he's good too. He had 33 in this one and 14 assists. They don't want that because they want to lose games as badly and as quickly and easily as possible.
Yep. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a sore back in SGA's future there. You know, I should say, like, there was a point where I remember doing a podcast and I said, no, this isn't like the Philly tank job. It is very much like the Philly tank job. This really is process. If it wasn't happening in Oklahoma City, we'd be all over them. But now you've got LeBron saying, you know, Sam Presti's the MVP of that team. Oh, man.
They're just in a weird spot. I don't want to go too long on this, right? Like, not having the lottery luck to land a top 3-4 pick in this past draft, like, as good as Giddy has looked, just kind of set them back like another 2 years from actually starting to try and get good and not tank to get that blue chip prospect to put alongside Shai.
Yeah. Yeah. Plenty of OKC talk on the Locked On Thunder podcast if you want it. Right now, we're going to talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy because it's you against the numbers. It's not you against some dude with you know processing power and algorithms and can just game the system. You pick 2 to 5 players. You pick an over under on their projections. You have a couple of different options, and you can mix sports. It's really just a lot of fun. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and picks can be made in 60 seconds or less. Again, you can mix sports. You can pick an NBA player. You can pick a college player. When football is going, you can pick a quarterback. You can pick a point guard. You can really mix it up, and any prop you can think of. Points scored, rebounds, steals. It's very simple. NBA, NFL, MLB, soccer, whenever MLB is back, soccer, MMA, college basketball, all of that stuff. So check it out. For a limited time, Prize Picks has this exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our listeners. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point, but you've got to use the promo code NBA. That's very simple. It's almost basically free money. Use the promo code NBA for this exclusive offer for Locked On fans. Sign up today. Use the code NBA for $50 free if your player, if a player in your Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Go to prizepicks.com, download the app on the App Store or Google Play. Very simple. Use that promo code NBA at Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. All right, Jake, let's move on in maybe the game of the night, really. This was the one that was the closest for the longest. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 127-124 winners over the Indiana Pacers. I want to start at the end of this one before we run through the numbers, because this game ends with the Indiana Pacers making an absolute bonehead mistake. And this is part of a rebuilding team that, you know, you just, so it's a tie game, right? Lamar Stevens comes out, blocks a shot, and Jalen Smith, after the ball gets over to Darius Garland, tie game, he fouls Darius Garland, who at that point, I think, had 39 points. He finished with 41 points. By the way, 41 points, 13 assists, 5 rebounds, 54% shooting, 4 of 9 from 3. And the two free throws that I'm talking about were part of a 9 of 9 night from the line for Darius Garland. Oh, my God. Darius Garland is a special player. But what a bonehead play. You know that in the locker room, Jalen Smith is just going to be like, I can't believe I did that. And after the game, Rick Carlisle says, some of the things that happened down the stretch, we're just going to have to learn from. Yeah, no kidding.
Rick Carlisle is probably, if I don't know if he has any hair left, right? But if he did, he probably doesn't after this game anymore, because he probably hated something like this. But the story of the night is Darius Garland. Dude did it from everywhere too, right? He did it at the rim. He did it from three. He did it from mid-range. And he had 21 in the fourth quarter, including being perfect at the line, as you mentioned. He was perfect all game and perfect in the fourth quarter. Just an absolute dominant performance from him. He's, you know, really blossomed as a player this season. And it comes on a night where Cleveland really needed this win. You know, they're on a two-game winning streak now, but they had been 2-6 going into these past two. You know, they were kind of the bright stars of the season, that like young team that's overplaying expectations, and injuries really, really hit them hard. And they've started to falter, getting closer to the play-in tournament. I think they're safe from that, but their season probably hasn't gone the trajectory they have wanted. And their bench gave them absolutely nothing in this game compared to the Indiana Pacers. So to have him come out and basically just will this team to victory, particularly in the fourth, you needed something like that. This is one of those things that kind of stems some of that negative momentum they've been having and maybe kind of turns it around for him to finish the season strong.
Yeah, I mean, you look at where Cleveland is in the standings, right? They're sixth right now, but this win keeps them a half game behind Boston. So the Celtics have made their big move. They've kind of cleared the plan as well. So the top six, it feels like with 15, 16 games, depending which team, it feels like the top six is the top six. But now if you're Cleveland, you still have room. You're a game. Basically anybody in the top six can finish anywhere, aside from basically Miami, who's three games up in the first seed. But after that, Philly in second and tied with Milwaukee, down to Cleveland in sixth. It's 2.5 games. So plenty of room for Cleveland to keep things together. Jared Allen, this is their first game without Jared Allen, keep things together and fight to try to get into that fourth seed and still fight to get that home court. Very important to get that. And, you know, frankly, very important for the franchise to get that extra home game, because that's extra money in the owner's pocket, which he loves. So important
That's like a nice little Dan Gilbert shot there that was kind of like threaded in very under the radar. I'm a pretty anti Dan Gilbert guy. So like that was pretty good, man.
You like that? I was trying to just kind of slide that one in, but you got all choked.
It's like you may as well just have yelled, "Hey, Dan Gilbert, you're greedy," and so hopefully you get a couple home games. Like
I'm kind of anti Dan Gilbert, Rob Sarver. I'm still going back to the old lockout days where those guys were like heading up that whole thing. Not bitter at all that I lost basketball back then, but anyway, so important game for Cleveland. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, there's some other games too or something, but like, there you go.
No, keep going. You by all means, continue singing the praises. Look, Evan Mobley, can't leave this without talking about Evan Mobley, who starts at center and, you know, he's a rookie. He's having this fantastic season. And here he comes, 22 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals and a block. Another amazing performance from Evan Mobley. Look, between Garland and Mobley and whatever moves they've got to make moving forward, they've got their building blocks. Garland is a special player. Mobley is a special player. You've now got two legitimate building blocks in Cleveland. You've got to figure out some other things. You know, what are you going to do with Markkanen? What are you going to do with some of these other players? But you've got your building blocks right there. Your cornerstone, franchise cornerstones are there.
Yeah, look, I think they're thrilled. Like, this is still a very good season for them. I wouldn't have put them as anything other than at best a play-in tournament team probably to start the year. They have overshot all of our expectations. Like, yeah, exactly. Like that, you would have thought them as a lottery team most likely. Like, this is great. Evan Mobley is legit. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. He deserves to win Rookie of the Year. Darius Garland is excellent. You don't really have concerns about him whatsoever. Like, figuring some of those things out, and as you said, getting those building blocks, knowing what the core pieces are, that's one of the most important things a team like that that's trying to rebuild can have. You don't need to tank and get a lottery pick to try and find that guy to build around because you got him. That means it makes like everything else easier when it comes to building a contending team. Cleveland's going to be in a good spot going forward, even if they kind of end the season on a bit of a down note, I think.
Yeah, you got to figure out what you're doing with Colin Sexton. You got to figure out what you're doing with Kevin Love.
You can let him walk at this point, and it's like, cool, whatever, it's fine. Like, you're not as stressed about it. When it is before, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, look, I don't want to go too crazy in this, but you want to make sure you want to try to get what you can. But anyway, the point stands that this is a really important offseason for them. You don't want them, if you're Cleveland, if you're a Cavs fan, you don't want them to kind of screw up this very wonderful situation that's sitting there in front of them. They've got important moves to make, but the cornerstones are there. So let's Pacers, by the way, were Tyrese Halliburton, 25 points, 9 assists. For a while there, he was kind of absent down the stretch, but for a while there, you get to see the full potential of Tyrese Halliburton and maybe why some people were kind of like, why did the Kings give him up? But there he was in all of his glory. So it was kind of wild. The Pacers got everybody but O'Shea Brissett scored double figures for the Pacers. So that's what we call balance in the business. Other game here in this segment, we'll talk about the New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies. Yes, Jake, you have to talk about this.
Pels got run out the building in this one. 132-111, the Grizzlies win. No Brandon Ingram, and he's been on a heater the past 6 games, averaging almost 30 points per game and 8 assists. He was out with a hamstring injury. I think the Pels just rested him, knowing they have a 4-game homestand coming up to really try and chase that 10th spot. With him out there, you had CJ McCollum score 33. He's been doing excellent since the trade, and like nothing else, they played no defense in this one. They looked a step slow all night long. Bad rotations, not closing out on three-point shooters. Their defense was so bad that despite only having 14 turnovers, they let Memphis get 42 fast break points, which is a pretty insane thing to think about against set defenses.
Yeah.
Like,
the number one transition team in the league.
Gives up 42. Like, they were just off all night long defensively and just had nothing. And so Memphis, who's a really, really good team, just went out and did the thing. You know, John Morant with 24 points. You had Jaren Jackson Jr. take advantage of that soft interior on the Pelicans to the tune of 22. Desmond Bane with another 22. Like, they wanted to win this one. The Pelicans did not. Even with Brandon Ingram in there, they would have lost this game still. Memphis was just all over them. So there you go.
There you go. That's that game. We'll get to the next game, the Golden State LA Clippers game. I will not subject you to any more discussion of that Pelicans game.
Thank you.
Nor the listener / viewer. Golden State and the Clippers are next, including the real or fake, which was Ty Lue saying, we won't play Paul George or Kawhi Leonard if they're not back in time for regular season games, even if they're in the playoffs. Real or fake, is that? we'll talk about that. First, let's talk about Built Bar. I'm just right now, Jake, on built.com, and I see this white chocolate shamrock Built Bar, which I haven't seen before. Have you seen this?
No, I have a couple of their white chocolate bars, and they are some of my favorite ones. So I'm going to probably log on there after the show and take a look.
Yeah, this is their kind of version of the shamrock shake, right? So it's and it's only 150 calories. You've got 17 grams of protein. This sounds delicious. I think I got to get on there and get one of these. And if you go, there's the promo code LOCKED15. I can use it every single time. I'm going to get myself some of these shamrock ones. There's Built Puffs, banana cream pie Built Puffs, which is like a protein infused marshmallow. Have you had the Built Puffs?
Oh, I love them. I got the churro puff bar. It's like cinnamony. Those things, they're light, they're airy. So it's not like this dense brick of a protein bar. So if you just hate that sort of stuff that, you know, it's too chewy, whatever, Built Bar is the way to go.
Built Bar, Built Puffs. It's like protein infused marshmallow. These things are kind of nuts. But then you've got your standard ones, the peanut butter brownie, which I love, and 180 calories, 19 grams of protein, 5 grams of sugar. Salted caramel, another one of my favorites, 130 calories, 17 grams, 4 grams of sugar. Have one in the morning for breakfast if you want. Take it with you to the office. Have it as a snack, a midday snack, a meal replacement, or take it to the gym. Like I said, the low calories won't blow out your cardio. The protein will help you when you're lifting weights, feed your muscles. So go use the promo code LOCKED15, 15% off every single time at built.com. Jake, final game of the night, the Golden State Warriors with an obvious boost from Jackie Moon, Will Ferrell in the house in full Jackie Moon gear, pushes the Warriors to a 112-97 win. Noted semi-pro fan Klay Thompson ends up with 20 points and struggled a bit from the field, but did just enough to you're hoping he gets back on track. 20 points for him, 20 points for Jordan Poole, 21 points for Jonathan Kuminga. A game where Steph Curry has 15 points and shoots 1 of 6 from three. He's been struggling a bit. They still had a significant lead in this game. And down the stretch, it was Poole and Kuminga and Moses Moody who were doing the job for the Golden State Warriors.
Couple of points here. This was a much needed win for the Golden State Warriors. They've been one of the worst teams over the past 2-3 weeks. You know, they were upset with the NBA on some of the rescheduled decisions from COVID games. They sent all their guys home for that game against the Denver Nuggets, kind of gave the middle finger to the league, punted on that one, and they kind of reset them. I think they came into this and they kind of, cool, we threw our temper tantrum. Now let's go out and play some basketball and win. And they just took it to the Clippers. This was an easy victory for them. Their young guys got minutes, played well. They needed something like this, I thought. And I think they kind of have accomplished their point with this one because they've been bad. Also, I don't know if you know, but Jackie Moon was there. I know you said that in the beginning. I wanted to reiterate it again just because the broadcast could not stop mentioning it all game long.
I know. It was funny. It was a funny thing to see, but it became like they had it mic'd up. They had everything. So, but look, credit to Steve Kerr for like, let's do something to try to get these guys' minds off of whatever has been going on. Meanwhile, on the other side, just nothing going. Reggie Jackson, 2 of 14. Marcus Morris, four of 11. Batum was okay, but they got nothing. Zubac gave him 4 points. Terrence Mann gave him 7 points. Just not enough, not enough at all from the Clippers. And this gets us into our real or fake, because one thing they were saying during the broadcast was, well, what's the answer for the Clipper? Well, the answer is sitting on the bench. You get two superstars sitting on the bench. Before the game, Kawhi Leonard goes through this hour-long workout. And, you know, when you're doing it before the game, you're doing it in front of the media, right? The assembled media is there. The word starts to get around. People are starting to shoot it on their cameras, and it gets out that Kawhi is going through this workout. People say he looks good. He's no limitations. Wasn't hobbling, wasn't slow, whatever. So then the report on TNT is that Ty Lue says, we're hoping to have these guys back, but if they're not back by the end of the regular season, it will be dangerous to play them in the playoffs without regular season games. So the question here, Jake, for you and for me, real or fake, Ty Lue is actually going to sit these guys, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, he will actually sit them if they're cleared for the playoffs, but not for the regular season.
Very fake. I debated how like loudly I wanted to yell this here for so many reasons. For so many reasons. Fake. Like I could give you an eye roll. I could be like the oh okay, Ty Lue, sure thing. Like give me a break. Like give me a break. Okay.
Yeah.
You could convince me on it if they were the one or two seed, because their issue in the past playoffs has been lack of team chemistry, resting guys. They go into the playoffs and they flame out early because those guys have just straight up never played with each other before. If you were a home court team, I could see that maybe being a little bit of a reasoning for that. This team ain't that. This team is right. 34 and 33, and they're the eighth seed in the play-in tournament. He says it's dangerous. Dangerous for what? Them going home less early than they would have otherwise, instead of losing in the first round, potentially getting swept. That's what you're looking at with this team right now. Get out of here. This is a bad thing for the team to not play two all NBA level guys, let alone the bigger issue with that, right? You imagine what Kawhi Leonard and how he would react if he was healthy to play in the playoffs, wanted to play, and then the coach was like, no. You have to fire Ty Lue before that series ends. Otherwise, Kawhi Leonard's going to leave. Paul George, they're going to force their way out of there so quickly if they are healthy. And it's like, no, you're not going to play. You fire Ty Lue before that press conference is over, basically, because you're going to lose both of those guys. This is so unbelievably laughable. Again, one seed, you've done this all year without him. Don't screw things up, you know, especially if it's like, clearly ahead of this two seed. Sure, you could talk me into that. Is the eighth with a barely 500 record? Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to say capital F, fake, all caps, underlined, bolded, italicized, exclamation points. I don't think you play them 35 minutes out of the gate, but you get them to a point where, you know, can they play? Yes. What's their minutes? And I understand this. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for Kawhi. Like, you don't want to just get Kawhi back and be like, okay, you're playing NBA basketball now, here's 42 minutes. Like that
I mean, if he's cleared, then it's fine.
There is a ramp up. I understand, and especially with today's medicine and everything, there is a ramp up. So, but I would rather have 5.5 minutes of Kawhi Leonard to start the game before he sat than not having any minutes of Kawhi Leonard to start the game, because that's going to at least get you started. And if they say he's got to play, you got to play him 25 minutes, no more than 25 minutes, then you figure that out. And then you say to Kawhi, like, hey, do you want to come off the bench? We want to have you finish the game. If you're going to say 25 minutes, we want you to finish the game. So what works? You tell us what's the structure if we're working within that parameter, and you put that plan together. Maybe you start 7 minutes and you sit through the end of the first quarter and the beginning of the second, and you finish the 7.5 minutes to get into halftime, and you do that same thing in the second half, whatever it is. Paul George has played this season. It's an elbow. So, or what is it? It's his, yeah, it's an upper body injury. So he can be running. He can still run. He can be in shape. So Kawhi, I understand, maybe limiting him a little bit, but Paul George should be like in cardiovascular shape. He should be fine. He's playing no matter what he's playing. Don't give me that. But I can understand some level of trepidation and some limitation to Kawhi.
Yeah, sure, I'll give you that. But if 25 minutes seems like a good number there, and look, they have a negative net rating on the season. They have the 26th ranked offense. Like, this is a bad idea to play those guys even limited minutes here. Like, cool. Otherwise, enjoy your participation trophy, Ty Lue. Like, cool. You got into the postseason and won the play-in tournament and didn't finish in like the lottery. Like, one wonderful job.
And like, the West
this
is open.
I don't know. This is so ridiculous. Like, what kind of message are you sending to your team with something like this, too? I don't want to play good players.
I think it's gamesmanship. I do think it's gamesmanship. The West is so wide open. You really have an opportunity to make a run to and look, where they are right now, they're in the play-in. So there's a possibility that you, no matter what you do, you get bounced in the first round anyway because you're playing Phoenix or Memphis. But look, hey, even Memphis is young and they're not in that situation. They don't know that situation very well. So maybe you sneak a win there, but the West there's an opportunity there. And you can say, hey, limit Kawhi, but the schedule is dragged out. You don't have as much travel. You have rest days, sometimes multiple rest days. You have months to ramp up Kawhi Leonard. You go 25 minutes the first couple of games, then you go to 28 minutes. You could be up to like 37 minutes by the time you get to the conference finals or maybe the NBA finals. If you like, just keep ramping him up. It's possible to do that. So we're belaboring the point. It's fake. It's absolute fake.
Fake.
He's lying to us. He's trying to throw people off the scent. He's trying to make it seem like it's gamesmanship. So we'll leave it at that. If you want more on any of these games, each one of these has a Locked On podcast associated with it. So make sure you're checking them out. Our local experts have you covered every day, on Wednesdays. Now back regularly on Wednesdays. I'm John Corrales. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. You can find me on Twitter @John_Corrales.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Zion's back in New Orleans. You can follow me on Twitter @NolaJake.
What a time. What a time. The Celtics are back in the running. Jason Tatum's dropping 54. Zion is back in New Orleans. Everything. This is a great time for the NBA and for us and our podcast. So please subscribe to Locked On NBA, to Locked On Pelicans, to Locked On Celtics, wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. If you are a subscriber, would love if you shared the podcast, tell your friends, tell everybody, they should be listening to and watching the Locked On NBA podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network.